Welcome to the Vineyard Cincinnati podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from one of our weekend services. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.
We are a family together and committed to one another, and we need one another, and it's so good to be together. And here shortly, you're going to be with other family as we get ready for the holidays. So there was no cheering on that. Like, Christmas is coming, y'all. There's always one. You know what I'm saying? What I thought would be good is if before the holidays, if you're like me, you've just come out of a busy season, you're in a busy season, and you're about to go into a crazy busy season. So I thought what we need to do is we just need to press pause. And we just need to kind of take a breath. And we need to be ready to go into the holidays in a way that glorifies and honors God. In this series we're going to talk today, we're going to talk primarily about peace. I'm going to talk about rest in this series. And throughout the series, I'll just give little tips that, you know, you can take them or leave them. I mean, like, how can you survive the holidays financially without hating yourself in January? Wouldn't that be great if you could do that? So there'll just be little things in there like that, maybe about how to deal with family. And we want to go into this holiday season ready. So we're just going to pause for a couple weeks, maybe 3 weeks, and just kind of talk about peace. I don't know if you need any peace in your life or rest in your life. Probably not. This won't apply, but come to church anyway, and we're gonna deal with that. I would like to begin with a word of prayer before we get into it today. So, Father, we thank you that we could be together as your family and as your body. And, Lord, we've come here for you. And so I pray that you would, Lord, as we open our hearts to you, Father, that you would speak to us through your word. You have the ability by the power of your Holy Spirit to speak to each and every one of us exactly what we need to hear in this season that we're in. Father, I thank you that you're acquainted with and know every single person here and family here. You know everything that we think. You know us inside and out. You know those who are far from you. You know those who are near. And you have the ability to work in every single one of us through the power of your word. So I ask you that you would do that and help me as I share your word today. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we begin in John. I want to talk about John chapter 14, and it's one of my favorite chapters in all of the Gospel of John. But this is a time when, let me set it up, when Jesus is going to talk about the fact that he's going to die. He's going to suffer and die. And in all of the Gospels, there's moments where Jesus comes to the point where he surprises the disciples. As you read Scripture, you find out that they really weren't ready for him to talk about suffering and dying. They didn't quite know. They wondered, when are you going to promote me, and you know, how are we going to do this thing when you establish your kingdom? And some of them, I think, had this idea that he was going to destroy all of Rome, and he was going to be the new president, and then they were going to be, you know, probably the VP. And, you know, you remember one of the moms actually asked Jesus, pulled him aside, and talked to Jesus about her boys, which one was going to be on the right and the left. You know, moms haven't changed over the ages, right? And then there would come a time where Jesus would talk about his suffering and his death. In the Gospel of Mark, when he talked about it, immediately the Apostle Peter, the Bible says, pulled him aside and rebuked him. Are you tracking with me right now? The Apostle Peter pulled Jesus aside. Jesus said, I'm going to suffer and die. And the Apostle Peter said, come with me for a minute, Jesus, you know. You're not going to die. And he rebuked Jesus in what he said. And then you know what happened. Then the crowd gathered around and Jesus rebuked him and said, get behind me, Satan. And then later on in the same chapter, God spoke from heaven to Peter again, said, this is my son, listen to him. How many of you know it's a rough day when two out of the three in the Trinity tell you to sit down and shut up? Jesus would talk about his death and the disciples didn't really want to hear it. And so he would in John chapter 14 start to talk about his death, and we'll tell you more about it in a second. John chapter 14, 1 through 4, here's how it goes as it starts off. Don't let your heart be troubled. I reckon we could stay right there all day long. Do not allow your heart to be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. That's at the point where Thomas said, Lord, we just took a vote, and we have no idea what you're talking about right now. We don't know the way, and we don't know how to get there. And Jesus immediately says, yeah, I'm the way. So I'm standing right here in front of you, and I'm the way. Through this chapter in John, Jesus is going to encourage and comfort his disciples. He's telling them, I'm going away, but then he tells them, I and the Father are one. And anything you ask in my name, I'll do it. And not only that, but I'm going to send you a helper because I know you all need lots of help. And you're going to do greater things than you've actually seen me do. And I'm going to send you a helper. And he's going to be with you and he's going to be in you. And you're not going to be orphaned. I'm going, but it's a good thing that I'm going, and I'm leaving you a helper, and you can pray and still talk to me, and the Holy Spirit will remind you of all things, and you're going to have all, and he's just comforting them. He's telling them he's leaving, but then he's telling them all these good things, like, I'm going to be with you, and I'm not leaving you, and you're not going to be an orphan, and he's just, you could just tell through this whole chapter, Jesus is really encouraging these downcast disciples who have heard that he's going to leave. Then he gets to this point, near the end of the chapter, and it's interesting to me. He says in John 14, 27, all this comfort and encouragement, peace, peace I leave with you. When I was brought up Catholic, many of you were too, and when we go into church, every Mass, the priest would say, peace be unto you, and we would say, yeah, see, I knew in every service there would be some. And then we say, and also with you, this is a, you know, the priest would say, peace be unto you. This is Jesus, the Prince of Peace, saying, peace be unto you. But he goes further. My peace I give to you. Dude, not as the world gives to you, do I give to you. Here it is again. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Because I'm giving you peace. But not only I'm giving you peace, I'm giving you my peace. Jesus is looking at your situation right now, and he's saying, I'm not just saying peace be unto you. You're like, that helps, thanks. No, he's saying, my peace I'm giving to you, that you will possess the very peace that Jesus has. My peace I'm giving to you. This is what we love about Jesus. Unlike any other religion in the world that would point to you the way, the pillars, the truths, this kind of manner in which you should live, they point outside of themselves to tell you how you ought to go and what you ought to do and how you ought to think. Everything in Christianity, Jesus points it to him. He does not say, hey, if you want peace, you go down there, you hang a left at Walmart, and then, you know, you go over there. No, he never directs you away from himself. Look unto him, the author and finisher of your faith. Look to him. And what you will see in him is what you need in every situation in your life. And then he says, I'm giving you my peace. So I began to ask the question, like, how peaceful was Jesus? What was his peace actually like? Now I'm talking about, he's fully man and he was fully God. So it's not like he walked around floating around on the ground. He didn't just float around. He was fully human. And he was fully God at the same time. And he said, I'm giving you my peace. So I thought about Jesus. What's his peace actually like? What was it like what was it like to live with Jesus during these 3 years of ministry that these disciples were living around him? Did he ever lose his cool? Can you see Jesus in Walmart at the checkout line? And he's at the express line, which is 15 items, people. It's 15. Not 23, not 16, not 18, and definitely not 35. I see you. Have you stood in line at the 15 and you're like, I'm counting their items. I've already counted mine. I'm 15 or below. I don't cheat. You're 22. And by the way, that milk under there and that water on the bottom, that counts. Can you imagine Jesus being in line? You know? Just totally losing his peace. Have you seen people in public when they lose their peace? When they lose their peace most of the time, and you see this, and it seems like everybody's on kind of a razor edge, like they're just waiting to lose their peace. It doesn't take a whole lot, and they lose their peace. And you know, usually I think, I'm so glad that's not me right now. That could totally be me. I'm sure I've looked like that before, right? Or you see some person who totally loses it with their kids in public. Now, if you have kids, you're like, I can totally relate to you right now. I'm sorry. You have kids. I know. If you don't have kids, you judge them. But you judge them because you don't have kids yet. And once you have kids, you realize, yeah, they can drive you totally crazy. They make you a person you're not normally. Like when I was growing up, they'd wait till I was in the car, but they would give me a look in the store like, oh, we're going to be alone sometime soon. All these people won't be here, and you're getting it, and you just knew it. You're like, can we stay here a little bit longer, you know? Can I invite my friends over, you know what I'm saying? Because they knew. Kids will make you lose it. Jesus never once, he never once lost his peace. He heard about his cousin being beheaded. He went and prayed. It didn't derail him. His disciples didn't say, Jesus just got some bad news. This could take a while. He's not going to be back in commish for maybe another 3 weeks. It just like, he's off. Never. He went and prayed, and then he healed the multitudes, and then he fed 5,000, and then he walked on water, all within a 24-hour period after hearing about his cousin being beheaded. The news wants to derail you, and it will. The newspaper wants to derail you. All of the stuff. I mean, there's some people, it seems like they don't even mention social media. There's like some people who tell you news and it's like they want you to be alarmed. They want you to lose your peace. Did you hear that this happened? I am keeping my peace in Jesus Christ. This is the way he was. No matter what he heard, no matter what he faced, he kept his peace. There's never an instance where Jesus had to go back and apologize. Like, I am so sorry. I had a really rough day. I don't know if you know this. I'm under quite a bit of pressure. My father has me on this 3-year plan, and the end of it's really bad. I'm working with complete idiots. There's 12 of them. I've got to change the world in 3 years. And I just sometimes, I got to admit, I don't have any fingernails left. I mean, I'm there right now. I need some me time. Jesus had genuine peace, and he could not be shaken. He could not be pulled away from this peace that he had. Matter of fact, when they're in the middle of a storm, freaking out, what's he doing? Sleeping. You know that's the only time in Scripture where it references the fact that Jesus slept. It's when they were freaking out. Mark 4:38, Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. This is a detail the Holy Spirit did not want us to miss out on. The only time that he was sleeping in Scripture, the disciples woke him up shouting, Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? This is a perfect picture of me and Jesus. Huh? I could have said it's a perfect picture of you and Jesus, but I was being nice. It's a perfect picture of us and Jesus. We're so easily freaking out over life and things. We are so easy to let our heart be troubled about many things, to make worry a fine art, to be troubled, to be concerned, and we don't you care that we're perishing? Of all the nerve. This guy's sleeping in my boat. And I'm in a storm right now. You do know that as Christians, we don't traverse over land. We're always on stuff that's just, it's just life. And the wind is blowing and we're in a storm. Look at Jesus sleeping in your boat. He had peace. Now he was tired too. We know that he was a man and he was fully God, fully man. So he was tired, but you know, you can't have good rest without having peace. He had peace. Jesus had peace. When they accused him, have you ever been accused of wrongdoing? You didn't do something, but somebody accused you of it? When he was accused, he had peace. He kept his peace. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when they came to get him, he had peace. When the Apostle Peter had packed a sword and said, we're gonna fight, and this is going to be great, this is going to be awesome, and when they came to arrest Jesus, the Apostle Peter didn't mean to cut the guy's ear off. He wanted to cut his head off. He just was bad with a sword. He cut his ear off. These guys come at night. You know, I mean, this whole scenario. And Jesus lovingly says, you come to me at night? I've been in your synagogues all day long, every day. But you're sneaky. And you're trying to come at nighttime to get me. Then they would falsely accuse him. What does Jesus do? Did he lose his peace? Oh, here they come. No. He didn't freak out. His disciples did. They all fled. One of them without clothing. Serious. You got to be pretty freaked out to leave your clothes behind. They were scared they're going to die. The least little thing. Oh, not Jesus. He's looking for the guy's ear. Hey, where'd that ear go? Oh, there you go. I mean, replaces his ear. He's facing his death. I don't give a rip about this guy's ear. I'm about to be crucified. But he had peace. And he's before Pilate, and he's so peaceful before Pilate, and he's being accused that it freaks Pilate out and his wife. And Pilate says, don't you know that I have the power to kill you right now? What's the deal? I've seen guys in your situation before. You should be doing something. He said, oh, you're not taking my life from me. You don't have the power to do anything except for my Father would give it to you, so you're not on the hook for this one. This is all about the mission that God has me on. You just, peace, peace. He lays down on the cross. He's dreading it, but at the same time, he keeps his peace. He doesn't resist it. He doesn't fight. And when he's on the cross, he's making sure that his mom has, you know, a woman, behold your son, and son, behold your mother. He's taking care of stuff. Can you imagine the pain of the crucifixion? I mean, most of us, if we have a headache, it's like, oh, shut the lights off. Don't talk to me, you know. Men especially. Am I right, women? That was your opportunity. If you missed it, you missed it. You should have been listening. I mean, when we're in pain, seriously, there's some of you that live in kind of this constant pain of one way or another, and your world just gets so small, doesn't it? You become focused on whatever that is that's hurting you. And that's natural. But Jesus, even when he was in the excruciating pain of being crucified, he's taking care of his family. He's saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And then this guy next to him has the nerve to join in the crowd and start mocking him. You're being crucified, and this guy's mocking you. And you've never, this is hard to imagine. Imagine you'd never done anything wrong. I mean, every person who's ever accused me of something is right to a certain extent. Amen? I mean, she's not totally wrong every time. This is why marriage is such a challenge. There's at least a bit of truth and usually a whole lot of truth in it, right? So he's on the cross. He's being crucified, but this guy's lying about him and accusing him. And what does he do? He maintains his peace. And the guy on this side gets saved. Jesus never, and he never lost this peace. And he's saying to his disciples, I mean, I personally think this would have been a bit of a pain to be around for 3 years. Because you know the disciples lost their peace all the time. And the Apostle Peter and Thomas and all these guys, and they point this out in Scripture to make sure that you know that they were not perfect and they said dumb things and they were all worked up all the time and they were worried and they were concerned and where are we going to get bread? This guy just fed 5,000 people from nothing. And you're concerned about bread. And this is the way they are all the time. Oh, man. And then they start doing math. Even if there wasn't enough bread, if we all pitched in and we all had our way. And Jesus is like, I am the bread that came from heaven. You're fighting about bread right now. He never lost his peace. And it seems like they almost never had peace. And Jesus is saying the peace. And if you were with him every day, it's like, how's Jesus doing? perfect. I mean, it would be so convicting and it would be so wonderful. But every time you'd go to him, it's like he had the perfect answer. He said the perfect thing again. He has the perfect disposition towards those who hate him. He said such peaceful words. This guy is unshakable. I want to be like this guy. How does he do this every day? Can you imagine the disciples' conversations behind Jesus' back? Like, dude, how does he do this every single day? He's got perfect peace. And what he's saying to them at that moment is he's saying, I'm giving you peace, my peace I'm giving to you. And they would have said, I need that. See, the truth is, as followers of Jesus, based on the Word of God, you and I have access to His peace right now in everything we're facing. Do not let your heart be troubled. Jesus isn't just saying this as a matter of, like, I'm giving my peace. This will be a nice plaque someday, 2,000 years from now. No, He's saying, I'm giving you access to my very peace. What is peace? When you think about it, define it this way, a state of rest, quietness, calmness, absence of strife. Doesn't that sound great? Tranquility, perfect well-being, harmonious relationships, peace. This is the peace that Jesus had that he's saying to all of us, you can have this in the middle of your situation. So then I ask myself the question, where did Jesus get this peace? Like, I can see that he has it, and I can see throughout his ministry that he has it, but where did he get it? I believe real peace stems from having peace with God, first and foremost. If you don't have peace with God, you will not have peace in your life. And if you have peace with God through salvation in Jesus Christ, this is what I experienced. All kind of strife in my life, and all kind of brokenness in my life until my relationship with God was restored. And then the restoration of my relationship with God, we are now, old things have passed away and behold, all things have become new. And how was this done? It was because Jesus reconciled us to the Father and made us people of reconciliation. That once I've been reconciled with the Father, there's something that happens on the inside of us that goes deep within us. Jesus walked in peace because, you get this sense? He knew who he was. He knew who his Father was. He knew that he and the Father were one. He knew the mission that he was on. He knew the plan that God had for him. He knew his Father. He said, you're still asking to see the Father, but if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because the Father and I are one. And the only thing I ever do is what the Father tells me to do. He was on a mission from his Father. He knew who he was. He knew what the Father thought of him. He was protected. He was provided for. He was in God's perfect plan. And that's where your peace and that's where my peace comes from. When I'm reconciled with the Father, and when you know that you are loved by your Father who created you, and when you know that he's taking care of the path that's out in front of you, and when you know that he can lead you into green pastures and lead you beside quiet and still waters, and he can anoint your head with oil and make your cup to overflow, and even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear any evil. Why? Because he is with you. When your identity is in him and he's in you and you're in him, you walk differently, you think differently, and you don't allow yourself the luxury of staying in anxiety and worry. Do not let your heart be troubled. This peace that Jesus has comes from the connection that he has with the Father. And this is the same way with all of us. Our peace comes from our connection with him. So I was thinking in where Paul wrote this to a church in Philippians. It says this in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. This is great. You're going to love this. If you've never heard this, you're really going to be surprised. Most of you have heard this before. Don't worry about anything. This is great before Christmas. Just let that settle in. Because some of you just got mad at the Bible right when I said that. You ever been mad at the Bible? Don't worry about anything, really? Here's how. Don't worry about anything. Don't let your heart be troubled. Instead, pray about everything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Don't worry about anything. Imagine just with me for a moment, if you took all of your worries. Do you ever worry? How many of you be honest and say, I've worried about something today already? How many? The rest of you are lying. You just lied in church. I'm kidding. Maybe not. Maybe you're better at it than we are. Imagine a world where you take every worry that you have and turn it into a prayer. Would your prayer life be awesome? You wouldn't be able to tell somebody, I don't really pray that much. You'd be praying all the time. This is my goal this week. I'm going to take everything, and I'm going to try to identify when I know that I'm worrying. Usually you can tell because peace and joy have left the building. So whenever you recognize that all your peace is gone and all your joy is gone and your stress starts going up and you're in that Walmart line and you're about to snap, right? Lord, I'm worrying. So here's how I do it. Lord, I'm worried about this because I'm a worrier. Please forgive me for worrying. And I just give this to you, and I thank you. You're doing such great things in my life, and this area I don't really know what to do about, but I just give it to you. I refuse to worry. You said, don't let your heart be troubled, so I'm not going to let it happen. And I just give this word to you. I give you thanks, and I just give you praise right now, Lord Jesus. And immediately, his peace. Now, what I want is an answer to my prayer. That's not what the scripture says. If you're you're praying about something and you want the answer, and the answer is peace. You're like, that's great. What I really want is an answer, right? But why does he give you peace? He gives you peace because when you have peace, you see the situation completely differently than you did when you're in anxiety. See, when you're in fear, and this is what the enemy wants. The enemy wants you to be anxious and to be afraid all the time. Because if he can scare you, and he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But most of it's just he can scare you. And if you'll make this, listen, if you make decisions in fear and anxiety, you'll always make the wrong decision. Well, why'd you do that? You say, well, I was afraid. Listen, this is what we do. I was afraid that if I didn't do that, then they might not do that. You are being motivated by fear, not the Spirit of God. And most of the time, when you have the peace of God, he has you do things that are opposite of what you normally would do. Is it right? A lot of times what happens is you get afraid or you get anxious, and immediately you go off in the flesh and do what you would normally do, because that's what you did, and that's what your mom did, and that's what your grandma did, and how did it work out for all them? But we live by the Spirit now, so we give him those things, and we have peace. And when you have peace, you see confusing situations, but you see them with clarity. Because you're in peace. You're not anxious about it. This is how Jesus went about always doing good, knowing what to say and where to go and how to do it. You need his peace. You say, I need answers to all this stuff. No, you don't. You need to start with his peace. And when you have his peace, now you're going to be fit to make some decisions about what you're thinking about. But it's peace first. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. I'm giving this to you. So we can access this. And this is what I want to do all week long. This is my challenge for you, my challenge for me. My wife is here. She's going to hold me to this. When I start to worry, I don't know if you know this or not, but this job every now and then has some pressure to it, this one that I'm doing, just on the weekends because that's the only day I work. But when I'm tempted to worry, I'm going to make it a prayer with thanksgiving, and then I'm going to let God's peace guard my heart and mind this week. And I believe you're going to be better for it. And here's the beautiful thing. The people around you who are freaking out at Walmart, and you're not, they're going to be wondering what you have in this culture, in this day and age, with what's going on. They're going to wonder how in the world you have such peace. And you're going to be able to give glory to God through that. So we're going to pray in just a second. But before we do, would you stand with me? We're going to pray. Are you still with me right now? Don't start zipping up your Bible if you have one of those. I mean, don't leave yet. There's prayer and communion available up front when we're done. We have Turkey Fest. If you're new to the church here, what we do every Thanksgiving is we give away a whole lot of meals. Kroger loves this church about this time of year. And the cool thing that we've done now, if you can imagine, there's over 600 families just from the Healing Center list alone that they've come to the Healing Center for help, and now they're going to get a surprise visit from one of us that's going to bring them a Thanksgiving meal, and they really need it. There's a total of about 1,200 families that we've identified that know they need this. There's going to be over 10,000 people potentially that we're going to be able to feed as a church. So there's, some of you are worried about the directions and the instructions. They're on the box as you go out. So as a family, if you take one or two of these, it's a small way, but a really big way to be a blessing to a family in need. And it's also incredibly fun. You fill that up, there's instructions there. You bring it back November 17th, and then we get to give away tons of food to people who need it. So thanks for grabbing those. Let's pray. What a joy to be a part of your family, Lord Jesus. And I just think of you standing in front of us today saying words that we desperately as a society need, as a church, just personally we need, that you would say, my peace I'm giving to you. So Father, today we receive your peace. We receive your peace right now. God, in every situation and everything that we worry about, please forgive us for our worry, for our doubt. And God, help us this week by the power of your Spirit to replace those those anxious thoughts and allowing our heart to be troubled. God, I pray that there be more prayer given from your people this week than ever before as we turn those worries into prayers. And Father, I pray that people would experience like never before your peace guarding hearts and minds through this season. And may it be a light to the people that are around us who are so easily freaked out. So we thank you, Father, for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer and communion available up front. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.